Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor at Truth Community Church, and I want to thank you for checking out our podcast today. Wherever you're listening from, I hope this message leads you to discover Jesus, connect with people, and serve the world. If you want to take your next step, visit us online at truthcommunity.org. Now, let's dive into the message.
I'm a mom. I love being a mom. I've been a mom for just about 4 years. Our oldest will be 4 on Thursday, and I can't believe that, but 4 years of being a mom. So it's been a lot. It's a lot, but it's all wonderful stuff. And I am just so thankful for the privilege to be a mom to our two beautiful children. One of my favorite things about being a mom is being able to take care of my family and my kids. And lots of times, you know, they want stuff brought to them. So lots of times I'm the person that's bringing those things to them. Like even this morning, I found myself saying to Cece, who's going to be 2, bring it to mommy, bring it to mommy, you know, I'll help you, bring it to mommy. She always wants to put her shoes on herself. She's like, I try. She wants to stick her shoes on. I'm like, no, just bring it to mommy, I'll help you. So that's always fun. And lots of times I find myself bringing them food, bringing them toys that they're looking for, you know, so it's an honor to be able to be that person in their life for them and watch them grow. And I see moms being like, yeah, you're right. So it's amazing and it's a privilege. And I kind of do the same thing my day job. During the day, I'm a teacher. So I have about 9 students that I'm bringing things to and meeting their needs in that way. And then at home, I'm bringing things to my kids and my family and just loving every minute of watching them grow. During that time, you know, you could find yourself by the end of the day just being like, hey, like I brought a lot of people a lot of stuff today, but what am I going to do with my stuff? My stuff. Where am I going to bring that? And I found through the years that I tend to bring my stuff to Jesus at the end of the day. And I know it kind of sounds cliche, but it's true. And I've recently discovered that a little more in depth this year, especially by the end of the day, I say, okay, everything's done. Everything's put away. Lunches are packed for tomorrow, and I'm going to sit down and have my time with Jesus and bring my whole day, everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, to him, and he will take that from me. And there are times that I find myself leaning, not always in that way. If I'm not focused on Jesus, I sometimes want to bring my stuff to other people and find validation in that. So if I'm feeling a certain way, I will call someone and they'll kind of validate, oh yeah, you should feel upset. That situation, you know, that shouldn't have happened to you. And I'll look for that validation. And it's not always the way that God has designed us to be. You know, we'll start leaning that way when we start focusing and making our focus not Christ. You know, if I don't have that time with Jesus at the end of the day, I will find myself leaning that way. And yeah. What about you, Keith?
For me, I need to bring my stuff to Jesus. And I want to paint a picture, because right now it's like, oh, look at them. They're cute. They're pastors. Their house is probably clean right now. It's not, okay? And I don't want you to think, because we're up here with microphones, and it's like, okay, well, they have it all together. They can bring their stuff to Jesus. Good for them. We're real people. We are real people too, okay? And we don't always lean into bringing. As Amy said, for her, if she's not going to bring her stuff to Jesus, she'll end up vocalizing, which is really a fancy way of saying complaining, right? Yeah. Just like, hey, this is what's going on, and looking for that validation of those unhealthy and negative feelings that we all have in all those situations. And for me, maybe you can relate on this side of it. If I don't spend my time with Jesus, if I don't bring what I'm going through to Jesus, and I'm like the morning. So I like to get up in the morning, talk about yesterday to Jesus, plan out this day with Jesus and get it going. If I don't, and I'm facing a situation or a feeling, I tend to go the other side and I'll internalize it and I'll isolate myself. Okay, so if like I have really heavy stuff that's going on, Amy knows when I'm really upset because I'm not talking. Okay, I love to talk. That's why they keep giving me this thing every week. I love to talk. I love to talk about what's going on in my life. I love to talk to people. And if I'm not talking, Amy knows, okay, there's something serious going on. Like, he's not using words to express it. And I can, in an unhealthy way, okay, it's not unhealthy to just be silent. It's not unhealthy, as Amy said, to talk to other people. But you know the difference, that unhealthy way where you are just like, you're either throwing up all of your stuff or you're just bottling it inside, all that stuff. And those are unhealthy ways that we don't bring our stuff somewhere healthy. And here's a question I want you to throw around, and we're going to talk about a lot this morning, is this. Who do you bring it to? Okay, so whatever it is, okay, you just fill in the blank with it. Who do you bring it to? It for you might be a situation you're going through right now. It for you might be a feeling that you're processing. So whenever you feel angry, whenever you feel anxious, whenever you get concerned, okay, like you can have different horizontal situations, but you tend to find, wow, my emotion is always concern. It's always worry. It's always anger. I always tend to get self-focused. Or it's a specific horizontal situation you're going through. Okay, hey, right now I'm going through it with my marriage, with my kids, with my business, with my health. I'm going through it with my relationship with God. Like, I just feel disconnected from him. Maybe that's your it. Okay, so here's our common ground. Whether you believe in Jesus right now, you know, maybe you're visiting today, you're here, mom's here, you're going out for food, and you're here. No matter who you are today, right now, whether you believe in him or not, you can answer this, because we all have a who, we all have an it. We all have a who, we all have an it. You have an it right now that you're processing, and you have a who or a place that you're bringing it to. You're doing something with it. Now, let me throw another question at that. Is it working? Does it work? Does it work for you when you get upset to do what you normally do? Does it work for you when anxiety sets in to do what you normally do? Maybe your it is Google. It's like, I'm anxious, I'm gonna go to WebMD. That's a great idea, right? WebMD will ruin your life, right? I don't know, I feel nauseous. Okay, I guess I don't have a lot of time left because that's what WebMD says, right? Like, that's WebMD. But you have a who, you have an it, you have those things. And what we're praying for today in our prayer for you is that you would bring it to Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. And I know, like, throw that on a screen in front of two people up here. It's like, oh, yeah, we're in church. The answer is Jesus. It has to be bring it to Jesus. It sounds so easy. Let me just bring it to Jesus. If you've ever tried to bring it to Jesus, you know it's not easy, right? If you, Pentecostal, amen. Can we do that, right? Amen, right? Wave it in tissue at me, right? I just got ordained on Tuesday, so this is just all fresh for me. But you bring it to Jesus. So, like, okay, been there, done that, tried that. Didn't seem to work. I prayed about the situation. I went to church. I even put money in the box. Like, I did everything I could to bring it to Jesus. And if you're honest, you'd say, and it didn't change any. And so what we want to do during this time is we want to share a story with you from the Bible, from Mark, who didn't necessarily see this, but he talked to Peter, who did see this and wrote it down for us. We want to share this story of two people who decided to bring what they were going through to Jesus. And I think we can learn a lot from that. We can discover a lot. So here we all are in this space. We've all got an it. We've all got a who. What if we consider bringing it to Jesus? How would that change what's going on in our lives? So we're going to read from Mark chapter 5 this morning. If you've got a Bible, you can turn there. Or if you've got a phone, you can go there. But we're going to have scripture up here on the screen for you as well. Mark chapter 5. And we're going to see, who do they bring it to? How does that change us today? And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him. And he was beside the sea. What's so funny about this story is it starts off as Amy and I could never be in the story because we both get seasick. Right? So we are not here. It's like, get in the boat. Nope, Jesus, we will figure out another way to get over there. But these guys, apparently, they were good with the water. They get in the boat. They cross to the other side. And what's interesting that I want you to see, because detail matters, it says that there was a crowd that gathered. There's a crowd that gathered. So let's create a picture in our mind right now. There's this crowd gathering around Jesus. There's a lot of people here. A lot of people are gathering. See, they've heard about Jesus. They heard he gives out free lunch. They heard he heals people. He teaches good. This is great. So there's a crowd gathering around Jesus, and look what happens. Then came one, okay, here's one, of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And seeing him being Jesus, he fell at his feet. Now, let me introduce you to my boy Jairus, because we got to know some things. Jairus, being a ruler of a synagogue, he got that position by being elected to that spot. That's important, because if you get elected to a position, it means that you have some popularity with the people who voted for you. He didn't just get appointed there. He didn't just get in there by birth. He was elected to serve as the ruler of the synagogue. So he's got a reputation. He's got some people that like him. In fact, some people who really like him is a group of religious people known as the Pharisees. Jairus was very much, rulers of the synagogue were very much connected to the Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious elite. They were like the higher-ups of religion. And what you need to know about the Pharisees is they hated Jesus. They hated him. So here's Jairus, friends with Pharisees who hate Jesus. You see what's going on? And Jairus, friends with Pharisees, elected there, hates Jesus, comes to Jesus. It's a big deal. He comes to him and he falls at his feet, which is this incredible act of worship, this incredible, humble sign of I'm lower than you. I've come to you for help. He's bringing his stuff to Jesus. And in order for him to come to Jesus, he's got to overcome his reputation. Because it's a big deal. Right, come on, there's a crowd there. No doubt people in that crowd voted for that guy to be the ruler in the synagogue. And they're like, why is he on his feet right now? Like, he's in charge of our church. Like, what is happening here? And all the Pharisees, they got to be whispering, like, are you kidding me, dude? Like, that's the one person you don't bow in front of is Jesus. What are you doing? He doesn't care. I have, like, bets going. I know it's not good, but I have bets going that I can't stay in the seat the whole time. So I'm trying my best to stay in the seat. Right? People are like, regulars are like, he's not standing. Right? So I'm getting excited, though. My feet keep moving. So he is there, and he's bowing before Jesus. He's saying, I need to bring my stuff to you, and I don't care what it takes. I don't care what people think about me. I don't care the reputation I have. And why is he doing this? We read on, and we find out. He says he implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. Now, this is an at-home text because I have a little daughter. My little girl will be 2 in July. My son will be 4 this week. And if you're a parent in this space, whether you parented by bringing those kids into this world or you're raising those kids, you have parent qualities. You know this. You will do whatever it takes if your kids need help. Right, come on, you know that. You've seen that if you've been parented. I'll do whatever it takes to help my kids. And Jairus right now is saying, I'm going to do whatever it takes to get my daughter some help. I'm going to bring this to Jesus. And if that means I've got to get down on my feet in front of everyone who voted for me and all my friends over there that don't like the guy I'm bowing in front of, I'm going to do it because I'm bringing my stuff to Jesus. Because I've already thought about it, I've already tried, I've already done the other things. My girl is sick. I'm bringing it to Jesus. And he's imploring him, you've got to come with me. My little girl needs you. Jesus, come through, come through, come with me. And so we read, he went with him. And here it is again. A great crowd followed him and thronged about him. They pressed in on him. So crowd's still there. Like Jesus gets out of the boat. They've all done the Dramamine. They're good to go. Right? They get out. They're walking straight. The crowd instantly comes. There's Jesus. In the crowd, Jairus makes his way up. Jesus, could you help me? My girl is sick. Sure, I'll go with you. But the crowd's like, we're tagging along. I mean, we are seeing this thing through. So get this image in your head because it's important. Amy's going to introduce us to the next person in the story. But as this person approaches, here is this crowd, this sea of people surrounding Jesus. Jairus is emotionally a wreck. He's got to be. His daughter's at the point of death. Jesus, come on, we got to get to my daughter, let's go. And look what happens, go ahead, Amy.
Okay. And there was a woman who had had a discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So we're introduced to another person in our story here, and she has no name. She is defined by her issue. And I know for us today, sometimes we can find ourselves in that place where we're defined and identified by our situation and what's going on in our life. And that was this woman here in our story. She most likely, because of her issue, couldn't spend the time in the temple like the other people in the community. And you have to understand the temple in this time was really the central hub of the city and where they found the most community with each other. So she wasn't able to go there. So already she was feeling ostracized because of her situation, because of what was happening in her life for the past 12 years. That's a long time, you know? Like, that's almost a third of my life, but that's a long time, you know? She's going through this situation for so long, and she's being ostracized for it. She also most likely had no children. And if she was married, she most likely was divorced because of this issue in her situation. So she's feeling really, really lonely this time. She's alone, embarrassed, feeling unloved, maybe unlovable. And it all stems from this issue that's continuous. It's always coming up. It's always, oh, I can't go here because of my situation. Oh, I can't do this because this is what's going on. She attempted to bring her situation to doctors, and she just grew worse. She was feeling really, really downcast and alone here. And as we continue reading, it says she heard the reports about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. So she didn't even know Jesus. She never had an encounter with Jesus before. She had only heard about him. And she wondered, hey, like, maybe I could bring this situation to Jesus. And, you know, maybe that's you today. Maybe you haven't encountered Jesus yet, and you're just hearing about him for the first time, or you're just hearing about him for a real time. And, you know, you can bring that situation, that issue, to him today. Yeah. So she touched his garment, for she said, if I touch even his garments, I will be made well. She brought her situation to Jesus, and she believed that if she just touched his clothes, not even him, she would be healed, she would be made well. And for her to even do this, we have to understand, was like breaking the law. She was supposed to announce her situation that was happening everywhere she went. So it's like walking into your work or the supermarket and being like, hey, I have this going on, just so you all know. Like nobody wants to do that, you know? And this is what she was overcoming. She was overcoming her reputation, her situation, and she was bringing it to Jesus. And it's incredible what happens to her. She believes that her situation would be moved, would be changed. She would be made well if she just went to Jesus. So in verse 29, it says, and immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. It's a miracle. It's incredible. Like, we want to read over that and just maybe pass it by, but she was healed. She just touched his clothes, and she was healed. She felt it. She knew something was different. This is no longer an issue anymore. Yeah. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you and you say, who touched me? Like, Jesus, there's people all around you. Like, everyone's touching you. Why would you even notice? Like, how could you notice? But he does, because he noticed her. Mm-hmm. Someone that felt so unnoticeable for so many years, he noticed her. And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Mm-hmm. She had broken the law. She didn't announce what her situation was when she went out in public. Yeah. So no one knew. She actually was not supposed to touch anyone, because in this society, that would make them feel unclean because of her situation. So she was breaking laws. And when Jesus says, who touched me? Like, I know something happened here. A miracle took place. She came afraid and knowing that she did something wrong. She had broken the law. And she comes humbly, accepting her punishment. And let's read what Jesus says to her in verse 34. And he said to her, daughter. Daughter. He calls her daughter. Something that she should have been condemned for. She'd broken the law in this culture and society. And he calls her daughter. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. So when we bring our stuff to Jesus, he doesn't condemn you. Yeah. He calls you. He calls you daughter. He calls you son. He calls you friend. takes that one step of saying, I'm going to believe and have faith that Jesus will make me new. Yeah. Today, what's making you afraid? What's your 12-year situation that's going on, your issue? We all have it, like Keith said. There's something that's, you know, wakes you up at night or bothers you in the middle of the day. You could be fine all day, and then, oh, all of a sudden, you think of that thing, and you're like, oh, like, bummed out for the rest of the day. I can't wait for ice cream at the end of the day. But, no, seriously. But, you know, we all have that one thing. And today, Jesus is there. He is ready. He's ready for you to bring him all your stuff and say, daughter, friend, son. And he's going to call you and not condemn you.
That's awesome. Now, Amy took up some time and talked about this girl, but we've got Jairus. Right? Like, let's think about that. Jairus started this. And Jairus comes. And Jairus is waiting for Jesus to move to his house and heal his daughter. And this woman comes into the picture. And she goes from being unnamed to being called daughter, given an identity. And think about that. Jairus has got to be sitting there like, man, my daughter's sick. Like, you're talking about people touching you, like, my daughter's sick. And all of this is transpiring. And we had Jairus who brings his stuff to Jesus, and this woman who brings her stuff to Jesus. And look at what happens next in the story while this is happening, while Jesus is still confirming her new identity. We read that while he was still speaking, he's still encouraging this woman, there came from the ruler's house some who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? This is like the news you don't want to get. We've all gotten that news. You've gotten the phone call. You went to the doctor. It was routine. You got the report. You found out about a family member or friend. You read it on social media. Wherever you found it, we've all had this moment where, like, I didn't expect that news. I can't believe this is happening. And Jairus right now, like, he's doing what we're saying do, like, hey, bring it to Jesus. And like, okay, I'm going to bring it to Jesus. And yet, it seems like his situation gets worse. I mean, what's worse than this? When he left his house, his daughter was at the point of death. And now these messengers had shown up, and they're saying, don't bother anymore. Don't trouble him anymore. And let's not read past this too quick. Because as a dad, and I'm sure in this moment, Jairus, he gets that news and he sees those messengers coming his way. And I got to believe that his knees just give out. I mean, there he is. His little girl, his 12-year-old girl, we find out. She's 12. She's gone. He's like, what do you do when your situation is dead? Come on, you've got that. I've got that. Situations that it's like, there's no life left in this thing. I've been told this is what it is. My family is in this place. My business is in this place. My health is in this place. For some of you, it's like my relationship with God is in this place. I mean, I don't believe God. I've seen him not do things. I've seen him do things for others. And it's like for you, hey, that's all dead. So what do I do now? And here we're seeing Jairus has a situation where it is dead. What can Jesus do now? And there's Jairus. But, love that word, but overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not fear, only believe. It's a big deal. In fact, it almost sounds crazy. I heard one pastor say once that faith is nonsense in that it is nonsensical. It goes against our five senses. And Jesus is speaking nonsense right now, truthfully. It's like, hold on a second, Jesus. What do you mean don't fear, only believe? Like, we're done here. Close the book. End of story. She's dead. And Jesus overhears what's going on, overhears that there's a dead situation, and he speaks life into it and says, no, you need to believe right now. You brought this to me. Now stay with me. Don't worry about what you're seeing around you. Don't worry about what they're saying. Don't worry about the report. Stay with me. Walk with me through this. Come on, we're going somewhere. And Jairus has to now overcome his reality. His present reality that is saying you should be confused, you should be angry, you should be worried, you should be upset. All hope is gone. That's your reality. And Jesus is saying, no, I'm going to overcome that. Stay with me. Only believe. Don't fear. And here he starts moving. He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Okay, so at this point, the crowd has to check out. Crowd was there when the boat came. Crowd was there when the woman was there. Crowd kept moving. But now Jesus is like, okay, I'll give you bread and fish later. I know that's why you're here. Just don't worry. Just stay over here, and I got to go do something. And he doesn't let anyone go with him except these three disciples that Jesus seems to always be bringing in closer, his closer circle, Peter, James, and John. And that's why Mark is writing about this, because Peter was the one who dictated to Mark what happened years later, which I love about Peter. Scholars believe that Peter was illiterate, which is why he couldn't really write this stuff down. Even his letters that he wrote, he had to have someone else because he was a fisherman. They weren't trained to write and read. He's like, I don't know how to write this, but Mark, could you write this down? It was really cool. And so Peter, James, John, mom and dad, they're all going into this, crowd's saying. And look what happens. They came to the house, the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. See, in this culture, you would pay professional mourners to show up and honor the person who passed. It was a sign of honor and respect. This is a big deal because Jairus has been gone for some time, his daughter has passed, and they've already got the professional mourners in. Could you imagine how angry his wife is when he shows up? Like, you missed it. You went out there to go talk to Jesus. Clearly, he didn't work. We've already got the procession going on. You need to get, let's go. Your daughter is gone. Look at the scene he walks up to. Come on, some of us in this space right now, this is the scene that's in your head. It's in your heart. It's a situation you're facing. Call it dead. There's already people weeping. You're already weeping and broken over it. Because it's like, there's no way life can come into this. And Jairus is rolling up to this scene at his house. And Jesus, when he entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? The child is not dead, but sleeping. I love Jesus. It seems almost like he's irreverent in this moment. Like, guys, calm down. She's taking a nap. I'm going to wake her up. Right? It's crazy. Again, it's nonsense. But all throughout this story, we see as people are bringing their stuff to Jesus, Jesus is bringing them to a new place. He's bringing them in a new direction. And he's saying, I know your present reality seems like she's gone, but hold on a second. She's just sleeping. And no one there gets it. Mark says in the next verse that they all laughed at him. But he put them all outside. That's cool. And he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. See, Jesus knew if he was going to do what he was about to do, he didn't need any negativity or any death in that situation. He's already declared, this child's not dead, she's sleeping. And all of you who are laughing about it, you can just go to the door, all right? You can excuse yourself now. This is important. Because I believe that for many of us in this space, if you're holding out and you're bringing your stuff to Jesus, you're saying, I want to see Jesus come through in this situation. Is it possible that you need to lovingly kind of clean house a little bit? Come on, there are people that are speaking death into your situation. There are things that are going on. Every time you're hoping out, you're holding out, you're hoping for a miracle, you're believing God's going to do something. And someone says, no, it can't happen that way. Why do you go to church? Why do you give your money? Why do you invest your time? Why do you serve? Why do you show up? God hasn't done anything. He's not going to do anything. Let me give you, this is real practical, okay? This is how we can do this. Maybe we just need to take a break on social media, right? Come on, you're believing for something and you're scrolling through. I love social media. Okay, you know that, right? Just, this is shameless. Follow me, okay? Any more followers, right? You use social media, but maybe you need to take a break because it's always negative. You're believing for something great and positive. You're scrolling on and this person isn't like that. They don't like this. They hate this. They hate you. You're seeing pictures and it's like, man, Jesus cleans house. This is a real practical way for us to clean house in 2018. You know what we call that in church world? Fasting. Fasting is when you say no to something that's good so you can say yes to something that's gooder. Okay, is that a word? Something that's better. Hey, this is good, but I want gooder. I want something better. I want something best. So I'm going to say no to this for now. It's not forever, but no for now so that way I can see God come through in this. And Jesus is like, okay, just get out of here because I'm going to do something crazy. And look what happens. He takes her by the hand. That's the little girl. And he says to her, this is Aramaic, Talitha Kumai, which means little girl, I say to you, arise. Now, already earlier in the day, Jesus has been touched by an unclean woman, rendering him by the law unclean for a day. But the law said when you touch a corpse, you are unclean for a week. I think that's important. Jesus is going from, I was unclean for a day, but you know what? I'll be unclean for a week. I don't care. You know why? Jesus doesn't care about getting unclean if it means cleaning you up. That's the gospel. Jesus does not care about entering your messy situation and entering our messy world if it means he's going to bring cleaning and healing and whole life and salvation to our situations. And so he's saying, yeah, I know I shouldn't touch this girl. I know it's going to make me unclean for a week. Watch this. Touch. I don't care. Because Jesus is such a boss. It's so cool. I am going to fix this. I'm going to make it the way it's supposed to be. He says, arise. And Mark, one of Mark's favorite words is he writes, and immediately, right? And immediately the girl got up and began walking. And here we find it, for she was 12 years of age and they were immediately overcome with amazement. Isn't that interesting about the 12? Think about it. When this little girl was born, the girl that Amy introduced us to just started on her journey of her issue. It's a big deal. Because for right now, what that means is whether you've been struggling with your issue for decades or it just happened this morning, like on the ride here, you got some news. Jesus is Lord over all. Amen. Jesus is able to bring healing to all those situations, whether they're fresh or they're old. Whether it's been years and years or it just happened, Jesus is able to heal and clean. And then Mark finishes it out by saying, he strictly charged them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. Now, the reason why that's there, so you can understand, is that if they all go out of the house screaming that, hey, she wasn't really sleeping, she was dead, and he just brought her back, this is amazing, all the crowds that are waiting, they are undoubtedly going to take Jesus, hoist him up on a chair, and make him their political ruler. There's no way around it, because that's what they're waiting for. They're under Roman rule, and they're hoping that a Messiah that can do this very thing is going to show up to overthrow Rome. And Jesus knows it's not time for that. Like, I still have to do more things, and ultimately, I'm not going on a throne, I'm going on a cross. He says, you know what, just keep this to yourself right now, our secret. You know how I apply that for me? I personally live in a world where if I don't tweet it, I didn't eat it, okay? So if I don't get a picture on Instagram, it didn't count, right? That's just how I roll. And everything is with hashtags and everything is with posting and getting people to know about it. And maybe God wants to do something in your life today that you've got to say, you know what, this is just for me right now. This is my personal Savior working out a miracle in my heart. Because if you start telling people, they're going to start laughing at you. Come on, so we need to just know God is going to do something in my life and I'm holding out because he has a plan for me. And this woman and Jairus, they bring their stuff to Jesus and Jesus does what only Jesus can do. So what do we start off with? Who do you bring it to? Who do you bring it to? You have an it, you have a who. Whether you're a believer or not right now, you have an it, you have a who. Who do you bring it to? And do you understand today? You can bring it to Jesus. I can't sit anymore. You can bring it to Jesus. My butt's hurting. I'm going to invite the band to come up right now. You can bring it to Jesus, no matter who you are. See, here's our hope for you today. Here's what we've been praying for months now as we've been getting ready for this. That every single person in this space that you would know, first, you have value. You have worth. That woman in that story was told for 12 years, you have no value. Anywhere you go, make sure you cry out. I'm bleeding. That's what she had to do. Don't touch me. I'm unclean. I'm bleeding. Don't touch me. I'm unclean. Cry out. That put a real big hit on her worth and her value. Jesus looks at her and says, daughter. Daughter. Gives her worth. Gives her identity. Jairus, who has worth, has value by society's standards. He needs to come to Jesus, and the way he needs to come is he needs to say, you know what? None of that matters compared to Jesus. Can you find yourself in this story? I think you're going to be on one of those sides. Maybe for you today, you've been told for so long you have no worth, you have no value. You don't measure up. You don't meet our standards. You can't come to Jesus. Look at your mess. That's a lie. Jesus is calling you to come, not so he can condemn you, but so that he can give you identity. Maybe you land where Jairus is and you say, but I've done so much good and I have a successful marriage and kids and a job and money and all of that is so good. But that cannot stop you from coming to Jesus because at the end of the day, every single person, we need to bring it to Jesus. We need to bring it to him. And so maybe today you need to overcome a reputation that's negative. You need to overcome a reputation you've been spending years building, but it's been stopping you from coming to Jesus. And all of us, we need to come to him. We need to bring it to him because only Jesus can take a dead situation and bring it back to life. Only the resurrection and the life himself can take something that is dead, close the book, it's done, and say, no, no, open that thing up. I'm not done. You're not dead, I'm not done. There's still more to your story. And so today, May 13th, 2018, your story is still going on, and you know who you're bringing it to, and you know what it is. And today, we want to invite you to bring it to Jesus. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. We're going to sing a song called "Oh, Come to the Altar." We're going to respond with this song, but Amy and I, we're going to head to the back of the room because we want to pray with you and believe with you that God is going to do amazing things in your life. So whether you believe in Jesus now or you don't, we want to celebrate with you. We want to believe with you. God is going to come through in a mighty way. God has a plan for you. You're not an accident. This isn't coincidence that you're here today. You are here because God loves you. God's going to do something in you. And so I'm going to ask, as the band is singing, if you're in the seat, sing along with them. Look at these words. May it impact your heart. But if you want prayer today, you say, I need someone to stand with me. This situation is heavy. This stuff is heavy. I keep getting angry. I keep getting worried. I keep getting anxious. We want to pray with you. We want to believe that, like Jesus said to that woman, daughter, you are healed. Like Jairus saw his daughter be touched and say, hey, arise up. You are alive. That's going to happen today. I'm going to ask you to bow your head, close your eyes with me. I want to give you opportunity right now before we go into this time. If you do not know Jesus as your Savior, if you would say, hey, I've never declared Jesus as my Savior. I've never taken a minute to actually acknowledge I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I want to pray with you. I want to celebrate with you. You going from dead to alive today. You going from lost to found today. And so in this moment right now, I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask you as I pray to raise your hand up and say, God, here I am. Save me from my sin. I understand I'm a sinner and I need you to save me. And we believe you are saved. So if that's you, as I pray right now, let's throw that hand up. In Jesus' name, we declare together right now that you have saved us. Jesus, you are our Savior. I thank you for those in this space right now responding, saying, I want to know you as my Savior. For the first time, I am declaring, I need you to save me. I need you to rescue me. Father, you sent your Son into this world for this very purpose, to save us. And what's more important than what we face outside is what we face in our hearts, that we are far from you because of our sin. But right now, you are bringing people close to you. And we celebrate that. We thank you, God, for our healing. In Jesus' name, amen.